The text today is Ephesians 4, 1 through 12.
And the title is, You Are a Minister. I know, it's strange, isn't it? You are a minister. All right. Let's turn there. You are a minister. Ephesians 4, 1 through 12. So, we've actually gone down through verse 7, but we're going to go back through that real quickly. Ephesians 4, 1, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you. You know, I don't say Yahweh when I'm reading from the New Testament, because it's Greek. It doesn't say Yahweh, it just says the Lord. The Greek says the Lord, all right? And that was the custom at the time to call, the Jews called God the Lord in the Bible where it said Yahweh. So it was Lord, and so they put the word Lord in the Greek, and we read the Greek and translate it to English. So, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so we've been over that. Paul's been going over the sovereignty of God in salvation, the sovereignty of God in opening up salvation to the Gentiles, with a couple of buts he put in there in the previous sections. And there's a but in this section. But. It's such a great word, but. Okay? But so because of God's involvement in our salvation, and considering Paul's position as a prisoner, what he's been through for the sake of the Gentiles and the Jews, but especially the Gentiles, it's like, you all need to stay united, okay? Here I am suffering in prison. Don't be fighting with each other, okay? We've got a lot at stake. God's at work in us. And as I've said, and as Paul wrote, in the first three chapters, and so we should be humble because of the fact that if it weren't for his choosing of the Jews and then his choosing of the Gentiles to be added on, we'd all be lost. And we're all put together in one body, Jews and Gentiles. So let's be united. Keep the unity of the Spirit. And then he mentions all these other things. You know, there's one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So it's all one body, okay? And then he says, but, all right? But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So in that sermon, I mentioned that we are one body, but we are different parts of the body. And so we have little different functions in the body, okay? Those are important functions, right? The main thing is we're one body, but we do have different functions. So elsewhere he says, you know, just because you're this part doesn't make you not one of the body, a part of it, or that part, okay? We're not all an eye, you know? Where would this be or that be if we didn't have that part? You know, we need all the parts. And so God chose what part we are. And it says in verse 7, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So grace is unmerited, a gift, unmerited favor given. And God gave you to be a part of the body. That was a gift to you, to be that part and to function as that part. And so that's why he says grace here. It's not talking about the grace of salvation. It's talking about an unmerited gift. You didn't earn that place in the body. But you were given it, okay? And actually, you were given to the body, to serve the body, right? So it also talks about the people as a gift to the body, right? And so, and that's what he uses later on here. So, therefore it says, and quote in the Old Testament, when he ascended on high, he led captive the captives, and he gave gifts to people. So, exactly what he led captive the captives mean, he doesn't explain it here, okay? He's focusing on he gave gifts to people, all right? But we could surmise that we are captives because we are captivated by Christ. We are included in the body, and when he left, he didn't leave us. He led us. He kept us together as captives to him. You know, so we don't really know, but that's the way I look at it. And we went from being captives of sin to captives of God's grace. Right? You're either what's the Bible say? You're anyone who sins is a slave to sin. Jesus said, right? And so you're a captive to sin. But Jesus ascended and made the body one, and he formed that body now to be a servant of him. Okay, so we're captive to him. We're captivated by him. And then he gave us gifts, okay? And that's what Paul's focusing on here now. This expression, verse 9, he ascended. Okay, so looking at the Old Testament, when he ascended on high. Well, now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean? Except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth. And some say this is talking about his descent into hell after the crucifixion. But others say, no, it's simply talking about his descent to earth in the birth. Okay, I think that's what it is. Okay, you can differ. Okay, there's people take each side, right? But he descended into this lower part of creation, the earth. He who descended is himself also he who ascended. And just to make sure that there's only one Jesus, okay? He was born and he ascended. It's the same Jesus. There aren't two. There's all kinds of ways some people might divide God up or divide up Jesus. Did Jesus come in the flesh? No, he must have been just a spirit because flesh is evil, so Jesus couldn't have been flesh. Well, no, he was flesh, okay? He wasn't evil, neither was his flesh evil, but he suffered from the evil, that the curse that was put on the whole earth, including his body was able to die, and he had hunger and thirst and things and suffered pains and losses just like any of us do. He suffered from sin, but not his sin, right? And he died for sin, not his sin, right? And so he suffered for sin. He faced temptations. And so he's the one who descended. He's the one who ascended. Far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. And Jesus, as a man with a glorified body, is in heaven for us, okay? The Bible says that when we see him, we'll see him as he is. We'll be like him. And so he fills the heavens as the ruler of it, and even he's there in the flesh, okay, the glorified flesh of the Son, as we will be. Verse 11, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets. All those verses, all those words, as, are added by the translators. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Okay, so these are the gifts that he mentions here. All right, there are other gifts, but he's focusing on teaching right here, okay, and that gift. So he has apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. The pastors and teachers are put together. So we think of that as one office, a pastor teacher, all right? That would be my office. And apostles were a thing that were given, a thing that was given at the time of the resurrection, right? And Jesus called his 12 disciples, who were not the same as all the other disciples. They were called disciples. Later, they were called apostles because God, Jesus, sent them out, right? Apostle means someone who's sent. Those 12 were intended to teach as Jesus said, to know and remember by the Spirit the things that he had taught them before he had been crucified. And so they taught those things, and they wrote those things down in the New Testament. Once that was finished, we didn't need apostles anymore. Some people say we still have apostles, but I don't think so. That's one of those things that's done with the finishing of the writing of the New Testament. Then there's the debate, well, but who had the New Testament, right? After all, it wasn't recognized as a New Testament until a little bit later. And one of the oldest apostles was John, who lived until somewhere around 100 years A.D., which was 70 years after the crucifixion of Christ, okay? So, if this Bible was still being written then, because the letters of John would be written then, at near the end of his life, from the island of Patmos, then, you know, you had apostles up until then, you know, and there may not have been many of them left, right? And as they were dying off or being killed, actually they were being killed, all right? And so after that, finally John died, and then eventually the New Testament was recognized as an assembly of the writings of the apostles and others from that time. So what about in between there? Well, guess what? People in many lands haven't even seen the Bible yet. So that's sort of a non-starter in the argument of apostles. Do they have apostles in China because there's no Bible or somewhere? No, they don't. Okay. God hasn't chosen to give the light to some people. Okay. The light of the Bible even. Right. So, but as a global thing, as a universal thing, once the Bible was finished, the apostles weren't needed anymore. Okay. Because that was recorded, and it's our job to spread the word. So those that remain. So, that's what we do. So some were apostles and prophets and evangelists. Then about the prophets, then that would be the same thing. All right, the prophets were here until the word of God was complete. There were New Testament prophets, and you read about them in the book of Acts. And evangelists, I would say, evangelist is a continuing office because it means someone who spreads the good news. Okay, and that's obviously something that is needed. And pastors, teachers. Excuse me. So, but the purpose of all those offices was for the equipping of the saints. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. So we have existing now, according to our understanding, evangelists and pastor teachers. Okay. And purpose is for the equipping of the saints. The saints would be everyone that's saved, all those who are saved, for the work of ministry. And even the New American Standard changed that word in this third edition that's in the bulletin. The first edition had thee and thou. And it's too bad they did that because the NIV just took over, okay? Which is less literal. It's a good translation. It's a good version, NIV. But the NAS stuck with the thee and thou, and then the second release took the thee and thou and stuff like that out, okay? So it gained a little more popularity. And then this is like the third, and that may not be exact. Maybe there's more, but there's at least those three versions of the New American Standard. This is the latest one. And they did change this word right here, ministry. And in my version, my Bible here, which is the second edition-ish, it has the work of service, okay? But what is the work of service? This is a reference to the priests in the temple who perform the service of the temple, okay? And as we know, we are all priests, right? Priesthood of the believer is a teaching of the Bible that we hold as a Baptist distinctive, but no, I mean, there are other groups that believe that same fact, okay? Maybe they don't stress it as much, okay? And others that may not hold it, obviously, where there's a special group of people and they're the interface between God and man, you know? Instead of Jesus being the priest, and we're all the co-priests, you know, we're all the priests under him. All of the believers are the priests. We all perform service or ministry. And so, as I say, this service or ministry is something that the priests do, and you're priests, right? If you're a Christian, you're a priest before God, and you serve before him, and you minister before him, whichever word you want to use. And so they change it to ministry here. We call this time the service, right? Because it's the word worship is also related to the word service. They perform the worship in the temple. They perform the service in the temple. They minister in the temple, okay? The priests, the worship, the service, the ministry. And that's what we do. We worship, we serve, we minister, all of us as Christians. But there's some, as I said, that were given the specific position of preparing us, okay, to do that. That's the pastor, teacher, and the evangelist, okay? And the previously held positions of apostle and prophet, okay? The apostles and prophets were there because not everything was written down yet, and we needed information from God that wasn't recorded in the Old Testament. And so the apostles and prophets were necessary. But now we have evangelists and pastor teachers to help the saints with the understanding of the Word of God, to equip you for the work of ministry, it says right here, for the building up of the body of Christ. And some say that, well, that's another change there between these two releases of the New American Standard. It says here in my older one, to the building up of the body of Christ, instead of for the building up of the body of Christ. The previous preposition in verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, okay, or for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. So, are the saints being equipped, and then the saints build up the body of Christ? Or are the pastor teachers equipping the saints and building up the body of Christ? Okay, so who's doing the building up of the body of Christ in this expression here, right? That's the question. And in my opinion, that's the work of the saints. That's part of the ministry of the saints. As in another passage where he says, which every joint supplieth, okay? There are parts of the body that build up the body, okay? And that's not just the pastor teacher. That's all the body serves the body, right? And so the body's being built up by the body, okay? The pastor teacher is the one who is preparing the body to do the work that the body needs. Now, ministry can be in the body and outside the body, okay? So it's not specifically only for that, but that's the emphasis here is on ministry to the body. Well, here it is in the joint supplieth is actually in this section here. We'll just read it very quick. Well, we're not, because we're out of time, okay? But if you read the rest of this paragraph, you'll see that's actually in this section, through verse 16. We'll get to those. The emphasis today is simply on the idea that, this title of minister isn't probably a really good one for an ordained minister, okay? Because it says right here, it says ministry in this version, but you might have a minister of music, a minister of this, a minister of that, and that's good because everyone has a ministry. And you know, there's a conflict in the Southern Baptists over who can be a pastor. Can a woman be a pastor? Can a woman be a minister? Well, what's a minister? See, the way I look at it, a minister is anybody. Any Christian is a minister automatically. And if you're recognized as gifted to minister in a certain way to the body, we'll see that here later. It's all about ministering to the body mainly. Everyone's a minister. But you might be recognized as a minister to the body in a certain way. That doesn't make you a pastor teacher. Okay? Pastor means shepherd. And we all know what teacher means. And so the other titles for the pastor teacher are the bishop, right, or the elder. Okay, those are all interchangeable titles, which we see at the end of the book of Acts, where Paul is calling together a group that he wants to say goodbye to, and they're the shepherds, he calls them, and they're the elders, and they're the bishops. He calls them all those three terms. And so those are interchangeable. As I said, but then this idea of a minister or a servant or someone who serves in the temple is for all Christians. We're being equipped as saints by God, but through the work of a pastor teacher. So, you know, what am I doing? I need to be equipping. I've heard some complaints. I don't feel equipped. Well, maybe I'm lacking, right, in the proper equipping, right? Yeah, absolutely. So we need to work. I need to work on that. But God will work on me, and he'll work on all of us. But that's the purpose. And when Jesus ascended, he gave gifts to the captives and to men. And especially here, he's listing those that are for the equipping of all the body. So we're thankful that he did a lot in those few days, that last week on earth, right? And then in his ascension at Pentecost, we benefit from. That's the time period that's essential, and in his ministry to us, and we commemorate it today, right? This is just one aspect. We commemorate his death, right? But implicit in that is his resurrection, because his death wouldn't mean anything if he weren't raised. It's just another death, but it's not because of his resurrection. So let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, thanks, Lord, for the Lord's Supper. Thanks for giving gifts to men as you ascended. And you sent the Spirit, as you promised, so that the body would be equipped. And it's one body, but we have different functions. And we pray you to help us, Lord, to serve in the ways that you desire, in Jesus' name. Amen.